You ran for president in 1968. Did you run because you wanted to be president and you were trying to be president? Or did you run because a McCarthy kind of thing, that you wanted to give people a chance to show that they were not for the other people who were running?
No, I ran because I've never been able to vote for the lesser of the two evils. And I would never vote for a politician, but for a statesman. And there was no statesman in the race, so I decided to run. I remember when I was a kid, I only heard two political speeches, Democrats and the Republicans. And my mother was a Democrat. So I had no choice but listen to a slanted view. But I thoroughly believe that had there been an independent voice that I could have heard as a kid, I'm almost sure I never would have been a Democrat in the early part of my life. And so I just wanted to give a lot of people in America the choice of being a third voice. And I think Wallace had a very positive thing in his negative way, because people that's going to vote Democrat or vote Republican don't have to worry about listening to their candidates. They've already made up their mind how they're going to vote. Right. But Wallace made everybody turn on the news every evening to hear what he was saying. For the first time, millions of people got to hear what their candidate was saying. And they found out them cats wasn't saying nothing, man. And they never would have looked at Wallace not being in. So consequently, what have happened since 1968 is the Democratic Party is not the majority party in America anymore. The Republican Party is not. What have happened is the independent ranks have rose 24%. John Lindsay proved in New York that when you start making sounds of a statesman, both parties will dump you, but the independent ranks came in New York and decided that he still was going to be mayor. He was the mayor. And I would hope in this country today that the young folks, as moves into the political arena, would register independent. Even if they vote Democrat or Republican, if they register independent, and enough people get registered as independent, the two major parties are going to start to have to run candidates that will think more independent than Democrat or Republican. And before you know it, we'll start getting the type of people in political office that can start dealing with solving the problems from a moral standpoint, not from a political standpoint.
Good, thank you. Do you plan to run for president again or continue in politics?
I don't know. It would all depend on what the situation is in 1972.
Fine.
It's going to be very interesting because Nixon is not going to go with one term.
Not unless he changes a lot.
He can't change a lot. Because, see, the thing that could have got him a second term would have been like nine. He would have had to freeze prices and wages in America. Harold Wilson, you know, had the moral force in his makeup to devaluate the pound, and he was hated for it. And now the pound is stable, and they love him. Had Nixon, you know, froze prices and wages his first year, he would have had 3 years to ride it out, and we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. Not his political views, and not his means of oppressing dissent is going to destroy him. He's going to tamper with the money.
What do you mean by tampering with the money?
Well, look at the stock market today.
Right, I see that it's down.
Look at unemployment today in this country. Ford Motor Company is laying off people that's been on the job for 27 years, man.
Right.
Boeing Aircraft, who employs 101,000 people, have laid off close to 55,000 people. Now, the top 58 industrial complexes in America this spring notified all the colleges and universities that they would not be on campus this year for interviews because the money situation is so bad they're not hiring.
Do you see that this is due to the money that we're wasting in Vietnam, which is not helping us at home, or is this something else that Nixon is doing with the money?
No,
just
you see,
closing this?
This is a roundabout way. But you see, we never solved our problems before we had a Vietnam.
Right.
We never solved that problem before we had a moon problem. And so if we wanted to solve the problems, we could get the money to solve the problems. You see, we sell defense bonds. There's enough morally dedicated people in this country that if we had a freedom bond, to sell to solve the problems and float them for 20 or 30 years. There's a whole lots of people, man, that would invest their money in bonds that would give America a future than investing their money today in bonds that only guarantee them a future. There's a whole lots of people in this country that love America, and they get out in the street and demonstrate to prove that they love America. And had them young Germans really had a country that they could have loved, they would have come out and tore Germany up. And Hitler would have had to gas Germans and shoot German kids, and if nothing else, the whole world would have known they had to get gas masks. But they didn't. And he caught everybody by surprise. And now today, America is 1/6 of the world's population. And as she treat her kids, the whole world get ready for them. Because if you came to my house tonight, and my 5-year-old daughter had shot my wife to death, and you saw me putting mace and gas and whooping her with a stick and shooting her and putting a bayonet on her, then you got to understand that you better go get your stuff if you want to deal with me, because as a man treats his kids, he will treat you. And as America treats her kids, see, it's very important that in 1970, a group of soldiers moved up on a college campus, Kent University. 1970, this happened. A group of kids decided they didn't want those soldiers on campus. So they started throwing rocks, bricks, and sticks. And they really didn't believe the soldiers would shoot. The soldiers fired. 4 of them were dead. The outrage was with some women involved. Now let's go back 200 years from 1970. Let's go back to 1770. A group of British soldiers moved into Boston. There was a group of people that lived in Boston decided they didn't want the soldiers in Boston. So they marched on Boston Commons. And they threw snowballs at the soldiers. They knew the soldiers wouldn't shoot. They shot. 4 people were dead. One of them was a black man by the name of Crispus Attucks. And that outraged a whole lot of people that this black man would get shot down. They know, Jim, he wasn't humbugging with the system because they knew the attitude of black folks. Now, I don't know if the next 6 years in American history will be as turbulent as those 6 years coming out of 1770. If so, it's very possible this kind of fall.
I see. There, I see that there are three kind of things that seem to be coming up in America today. One is there are a lot of people who are bringing the war back home, and who are talking about revolution, who are talking about civil war and killing people. There's another movement, which is the government trying to order the country, which is fascism. And there's another movement of people who are just out to have a good time. It seems like the 60s, one of the things that I went through was finding out that life can really be fun. And I think a lot of people who are old now found it out in the 60s. Do you feel that, which of these do you feel is most strongly coming?
I think all three of them are legitimate. One, you have to understand one thing, that all human beings have a right to react to fear. Now, if I think you are a ghost, I have a right to run out of here, and in the process I could stomp you to death and I would never go to jail for it because I was legitimately acting in fear. Now, some cats would see you and believe you was a ghost and laugh. Some would see you and take a fifth bottle and try to bust you over your head. All three of them are legitimately acting in fear. The people that rallied behind George Wallace was reacting to fear. You got the right wingers that's talking about laws to oppress. They legitimately reacting to fear. The only difference is when you have a large group of people that through ignorance react out of fear, out of the three of them, the ones that will survive will be the moral forces. They will survive every day. And so in the country today, the kids are the moral force in this country. Going back to 1770, it was the American citizens that was the moral force. And with the Britain reacting to the fears with all of the guns and the master army, they could not stop that moral force. And now today, the American government is in the same position the Britain government was in. And if she reacts the same way Britain reacted, the history books will be written the same way.
that's very encouraging to me. Then, if I understood you correctly, that you feel that the youth are the moral group in this country, and that the moral people will always win.
They will win. That might mean the country coming down. It might mean the country coming down. You see, nature has tremendous power. Nature controls revolution, not man. See, revolution is nothing more but an extension of evolution. Evolution, which happens to be a naturistic change that after long periods of time leads into revolution, which is quick change. When a woman gets pregnant, the first 9 months of the gestation period is evolution. When the water bag breaks, that's revolution. Now, if because that woman is not married, and the baby's going to be blamed on you, and you're afraid, let's go get all the National Guard in the world, and when that woman's water bag breaks, let's try to cross her leg with the National Guard and see if you can keep the baby in her. Nature's going to drop that baby when the 9 months pregnancy is over if it means death to the mother and the child. The 9 month pregnancy of this degenerate nation is over. And this baby going to fall if it means death to the mother and the child. The naturistic force is what's working. If you light up a cigarette and puff it, it's going to come to ashes. That's satisfaction, man, because all the laws of that cigarette have been obeyed. Now, you haven't got a cigarette, and you haven't got tobacco anymore. But now the horror would be for you to light up a cigarette and keep smoking it, man, and the cigarette wouldn't burn. Then you know some freak of nature have hit, which would make us throw the cigarette away. And so it's the same thing in this country today. You know, we're going through forces. If you put a tight shoe on your foot, you're going to get a corn. The reason? Because, let's take property rights against human rights. Human rights will win out every time. Because property is controlled by man and human rights is controlled by nature. You put that tight shoe on your foot, you get a corn because nature defies anything to rub against our own. The difference between nature and man, when I take your property, you react because you locked in a time box. Nature's not. She's cool, baby. She is time. You keep wearing that shoe, you get a corn. Not because the shoe or nature don't like you. Her laws, anything rubs against mine, I'll give it a reaction to protect it. The corn starts hurting your foot because every living organ breathes. You breathe through your pores. Once that corn gets there, you can't breathe. When the air can't get through, it hurts you. You keep wearing that tight shoe, the corn will turn into a callus, the callus will turn into a bunion, and eventually the bunion will wear the shoe out. There's never been a man-made shoe that's ever wore out one of nature's foot. And so consequently today, if America don't get this tight shoe off her foot, the kids is the foot, it's coming down. But this is only the laws of nature. These are reactions of nature. The theory of spontaneous combustion. Take some oily, greasy rags and put in the closet and close the door so air can't circulate, baby. Cuss the rags, call them a bunch of hippies, a bunch of yippies, a bunch of dirty, smelly rags. If you don't open up that door, it's going to pop. The young kids, the black ghetto, the Puerto Ricans, the Mexican, the Indian, is America's greasy rags today. She looked like she wanted to keep the door closed. But she paid a price. And so consequently, you know how you build a hydroelectric dam? You take nature's free running water, you corral it up, and you create enough energy and friction to light up a whole town. We call that hydroelectric power. You take nature's raw running youth, and with oppressive laws, corral it up. They'll light up a town for you one day too. And you can call it anything you want to call it. But all nature's forces react the same way. So somewhere America's going to have to realize she's dealing with something bigger than her. And she's dealing with something that a gun can't stop. Because if a gun could stop what's going to happen in this country today, then we could take that same gun and stop a tornado, stop an earthquake, or stop a flood. Because we deal with nature's forces. And nature's forces react after long periods of time. And this country didn't just get degenerate and corrupt and immoral. She's been that way for a long time. And now the moral forces is catching up with her. The moral forces say, I will not vote for the lesser of two evils. The moral forces is saying, wait a minute, baby. If a 13-year-old dumb, stupid kid can find the heroin pusher, then don't tell me the FBI can't find him. Because I can't believe the FBI is that dumb and a kid is that smart and the heroin pusher is that brilliant. And so consequently, all of these forces is catching up now. Young kids is talking about morality. The old folks is talking about no more Americans being killed in Vietnam. The young kids are talking about no more people being killed in Vietnam. You see, all gases move up to a higher level. And the kids have kicked to a higher level than their parents. But when that gas kicks to a higher level, it will wipe you out.
And you put a tea kettle on your stove and boil water and it starts whistling and that gas is moving to a high level. Now you go and stick a plug in it because you don't want to hear the noise. And you know what the next move is going to be. But you cannot stop gases from moving up.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
The other men of great stature in this country that I think of when I think of nonviolence is Martin Luther King. And Martin Luther King's attitude was, you can spit on us, you can put us in jail, you can kill us, and we'll love you. And I don't feel like you have any commitment to love people, that you seem like an angry man about lots of things.
Well, you see, when you teach a man to love his enemy, and don't teach him to love all people, then that becomes a tactic and not a love affair. I'm more concerned with black folks killing black folks. We get more black folks killed black folks in 1 week in this country than all the white Ku Klux Klaners have killed in 100 years. Now, when we talk about nonviolence, let's talk about true nonviolence. Nonviolence in America means I'm not supposed to hit a white man. But I could shoot my wife tonight and nobody would be outraged. But I shoot a white man that was misusing her, and everybody would be outraged. And so consequently, I get my strength from a song called The Battle Hymn of the Republic. As he died to make men holy, let us die to set men free. Not kill. I am willing to die to set men free. But I'm not willing to smile and pray for the cat that's killing me, that's whooping me, that's throwing hot grease on me, that's putting dogs on me. King had a strong moral force because he came out of a strong church Christian bag. He had faith in the church. I have faith in God, but not the church. And I think one day if the church is not very careful, it's going to end up getting crucified, and 3 days later the people are going to rise. King put his faith in the church, and I put my faith in people. And so I think one day, if we can get a world where I'm not worried about nonviolence, I'm worried about non-violate. If you will never violate me because I'm human, and I would never violate you because you're human. And so consequently, I don't love dogs, I don't love animals, but my commitment to nature's life, I had to become a vegetarian. Because I don't think nothing nature put here with blood and cells and life in it should be killed for my dinner. And so consequently, I would rather be in a world with the haters than the lovers.